Okay, today is Monday, December 18, 2017. Unbelievable but true. And this is the final new moon session of 2017. And just like we were talking a minute ago, I really do feel like we've been doing these for 7 years, and it really feels like they've just kind of been building on one another, and we've been going through such chaotic, confusing, transitional times. And I really feel like we were just saying, Susan, I feel like we're crossing a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels really good. You know, I feel like for so many years, and I'm just going to start. Anybody wants to say anything? Do you want to say something, Susan?
That's okay.
Okay, good. So, because I feel like, you know, that image of a bridge is more pivotal and more powerful than I think any of us realize. Because I feel like for so many years, I feel like we have felt like the bridge. And being the bridge and crossing the bridge are two different things, because being the bridge is like holding this space, and you have all of these people, all of these energies crossing on your back over to the other side. And there is this sense of, it was wonderful. It was great to be of service in that way, but it was heavy and tiring. And I think our physical bodies are finally saying, enough, cross the bridge. You're no longer going to be the planks that people need to support them to cross the bridge. You have crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels essential, because our physical bodies feel like there's been like these blowouts, and it's like the dense tissue, the dense energy of the bodies has been under such strain that it really has felt like it had to literally hold it all together. And that is a misunderstanding, because in the literally, I said so, I did. They're birds, by the way, Sid. In the literal trying to hold it all together, it's a misunderstanding of like literally trying to hold the cosmos, the universe, all of creation into our bodies, and of course it's going to cause blowouts. And so it's really about transcending that, being the container and more like being the instrument. And it's interesting to me that I'm saying being the instrument and working with the physical body so much, because before I came on, I sat down and I like put my bowls and my drum and my flute, and they're all around me. And I was like playing a little bit, and it's like we are transcending to the other side, and we are learning to be the instrument. In other words, learning to let our spirit, our soul's creation kind of breathe through us, and not try to hold it in, not try to hold it together. Simply let it flow. With that, let's let everybody take a breath. Yeah, it feels like there's been this trust. Like, yes, we all have our doubts, we all have our fears, but there's been this trust, and we've maintained this sense of trust, and we've maintained this sense of knowing that our lives are purposeful, and knowing that contrary to outward appearances or subconscious holdings, we are where we need to be, and all is well. And yet we have been feeling so much tension and so much pressure. And so it feels very much like this is like a reprieve for the body. It's like integrating the souls, integrating our souls in a way that say, okay, it's like freeing it. And another image that's coming to mind is like a jail cell being opened, and a jail cell or a birdcage being opened. Hi, guys. And literally, our souls are flying free. And it's tapping into that sense of awe, that sense of wow, I'm tired, but I'm just going to coast on the breeze. I'm going to coast in the thermals. I'm going to allow the wind to lift me. I'm going to allow the spirit to lift me in a way where I quit fighting. And this is where I see the elements coming in, too, because the image is shifting from air to water. So instead of struggling to stay afloat, just floating and trusting that there is a buoyancy, there is a support network in our creation, and this support network is, you know, it's like we talk about gravity and having to fight against gravity and having to fight against nature, but it's really, we've been fighting against gravity, we've been fighting against nature, and it's not about fighting against any of that, it's about surrendering into them. Surrendering into being with them, surrendering into playing with them, surrendering into allowing them to support us, allowing them to lift us in a way where we finally are tapping into that ease that we've so longed for and so thought was against out of our reach. So that's the other image, like being in the water. Actually, the two elements right now are water and air. So it's like there's a simultaneous image of one being in the air and trying to reach for a parachute and none coming, or trying to reach for something to keep you in the air and nothing being there. And same thing with the water, trying to reach for a raft and it not feeling like it's there, because it's tapping into that ability to be with the elements in a way where there's a knowing. Again, for those of you who aren't like movie fans, it's kind of like that Indiana Jones scenes where he steps off and trusts, even though he sees no foothold beneath him, he trusts and he steps forward. It's like that literal leap of faith, and you step forward and it's like, whoa, there is something under my feet. I couldn't see it, but it's there. So there's the relief of knowing that, feeling it, that it's there. Yeah. Feel that it's there. That's taking me then into, we're needing to do an adjustment of the senses. And when I say that, it's like tapping into the sense of vision and smell simultaneously, actually. So it's like working with all the senses, but I'm working right now with the lacrimals of the eyes, the tear ducts, and it's like adjusting them in a way that simultaneously adjusting the nasal bones so that the pathways are open and so that the eyes are clear. The vision is clear. And I feel with that, there's like a tension in the diaphragm. And that's the fear that's been gripping, we've been gripping. Actually, it's interesting because it's like I said, it's been gripping, but we've been gripping. So there's a simultaneous, there's never you've heard me say this before, there's never a, we don't hold, things don't hold us hostage, it's a mutual agreement. And so there is this mutual agreement to fight against fear, and we're needing to resolve that, to let it support us. Let fear support us. Because if we actually work with fear in its natural state, we recognize it. It's an alarm system, an alert system, and it says, okay, pay attention. And if we pay attention, then we receive the message. And then we can relax, and the action takes itself. The action takes care of itself. In other words, the action presents itself. But what we do is when we feel we have in the past, I'm correcting that, I'm erasing that, we do not do that anymore. What we do now is when we feel fear, we welcome it, we acknowledge it, we go, okay, well, what are you trying to tell me? And we don't attach the stories that we used to attach to it. We let those balloons go. And we just listen to what fear has to say. And then we know what to do. It just shows up because we understand. We're not afraid. There's a difference between fear as an advisor and being afraid of fear. Actually, literally interesting. We've been afraid of fear. And it's really just an emotion. And I say just an emotion with all of the honor of all of the emotions, meaning it's valid, it's necessary, it is part of this creation, and it is asking to help, asking to help. And it's linked into our nervous systems, our central nervous systems, our brains. And it's like, I see. Okay, so Jill Bolte Taylor just showed up. You guys remember Jill Bolte Taylor and the neuroscientist who had a stroke? So she held a corpus callosum in her hand, and that's what we're working with right now, the corpus callosum. Because that corpus callosum, that the neurotransmitters, that resisting of fear, has caused a blockage that has not allowed the bridging of the right and left hemispheres. So it's been like this recursive loop that's causing anxiety and tension and friction, almost like blowouts, like circuit breaker fuses. It's like this: the loopiness in the brain is causing such a tension that it is creating a shutdown. And so what we're working with right now is I see like my hand is in my arm or like operating as like the corpus callosum, and it's like the corpus callosum was in a fist, and the arm was that tension, and so I feel that fist opening, that tissue relaxing, becoming more pliable, becoming more receptive, more available, more bioavailable, so bringing the bioavailability back into the tissues of the brain. Opening up the pathways instead of collapsing the channels. Building new pathways. And revitalizing the connective tissue. The meninges, the cerebral spinal fluid. And that's going into the head and up through. It's interesting because it's like I went into the head, but it went into the head through the nose, a bit like the Egyptians used to do when they pulled the brain out of the head. So we're going through the front of the head, through the senses. We're going through the senses, up into the filters of the mind, again, working with those senses. And it feels like we're doing multiple adjustments with the senses as we work with different parts. See, I corrected that. We're not working on, we're working with these different parts. We're finally able to receive it, so they're finally able to help. Oh, okay. So, working with that tissue, working up the sinuses, up through the senses, into the frontal lobes of the brain, and kind of like needing to lift the brain to relieve some pressure. Almost feels like with that rigidity, with that blockage that we've experienced with the corpus callosum, it almost feels like the brain, not only was there a circuit breaker, but it was like lots of metaphors tonight, as usual. It was kind of like being in a coal mine and the mine collapsed. So, the roof of the brain felt like it had no space between parts, between functions, between, felt cut off. Fascinating, because it really is giving the image of like being in a coal mine and there being a collapse, and so it's like there are these people, these neurotransmitters stuck in these parts of this mine, and oh, that's funny, mind, in this mine, and we're needing to open the pathways and trust that we're not going to cause a total collapse, and or trust that if we have a total collapse, it's not a structural collapse, it's a metaphoric collapse, it's a mental collapse, and it needs to happen because the mental constructs have been so rigidly non-pliable, they have created no options. So needing to, again, make them more porous, more pliable, or allow them to show up more porous and more pliable, the actual physical tissue. And as we do that, I see like unlinking like all of these old thoughts and constructs that literally all of us share. Yes, we have different histories. Yes, we have different experiences. Yes, we are different quote-unquote sexes, and we all share these historical dynamics and traumas that have constructed themselves in a way to theoretically keep us safe in our survival mode. What they've done is kept us trapped and confused and unable to tap into the evolutionary availability of our genes, of our spirit, of our soul. That's big. Now I feel heat rising. So then we need to work with the elements, because while this is going on, there is a bit of discomfort as we open one pathway. It's kind of like let a little bit of steam out here. So we feel the discomfort of what was stuck. So as we open the pathways, we invite fresh air, oxygen. We invite fresh minerals. I love the image of a mine, because I'm literally seeing in the mine, I'm seeing like we invite fresh streams of consciousness, fresh streams of thought, so it's showing up as like water and minerals in the walls of the connective tissue. And little oxygen molecules coming through, it's like little, all these little nano kind of structures and all these chemistry symbols that I am clueless about, so I'm just watching them happen. So it's like not just the elements, the elemental kingdom of the nature elements or the Chinese elements, but also the elemental tables. Our chemistry, our body chemistry, our biology, the geometry, the sacred geometry of them, the symbols of them. They're lining up in a way. It's kind of like as the walls are newly constructing themselves, they are filling in a way where it's a bit like, okay, one symbol goes here, it fits in there perfectly, and then another one comes in, so it's like it's being built as we speak. And that I have to just watch everybody just breathe, please. There is, it's kind of a little bit of dizziness I'm feeling, and this dizziness is showing me the poles are off. And it's interesting. We know that the poles have shifted on the Earth, and they have, but we still operate as if they haven't. And they've also shifted in us, because we are a microcosm of our Earth. And so those poles are off, and we're allowing ourselves to come into alignment with the new awareness of the poles and how they are best now, how they have evolved to be. And the transition is a little interesting. It's a little interesting, meaning it's a little disconcerting. And it's disconcerting because it just feels a little bit ungrounded. And it is ungrounded. Ah, ungrounded. So the ungrounded part is we need to bring, it's like we need to ground ourselves. So in the, but it's I'm literally walking sideways. It's kind of interesting. So it's like the grounding of ourselves needs to come from, we can't ground yet because the poles are still shifting. And so if we ground too soon, that's part of the problem. We've been trying to ground to an old polarity. And in that doing, it's like our motors aren't running. We aren't allowed to actually step into, like I said, clear pathways. So I'm tapping that in. Let's tap that into our hearts, because our hearts are feeling anxiety around that confusion of the poles. So I feel like, so we're like aligning everybody in an upright position, aligning the north and south poles, aligning the directional compass of the body and the earth, and setting up a program to allow the harmony of that to take place easily. And easily, smoothly as it can be. So smoothly meaning not tapping into or stepping into a place of that ease and allowing it to transition in a way that is not so shocking to the system, because the nervous system, with all of the trauma and all of the history and all of that, has been holding on to the PTSD dynamic and the inability to actually cope. And as we say in body talk language, the coping abilities are gone. And that's scary. But guess what? They need to go, because we don't need to cope the same old ways anymore, because we're not the same. We're not the same. The earth is not the same. The appearance may feel that it is, but it's not. And so now's the time to actually tap into that in a way where we can actually realize that, where we can actually step into that place of riding the wave. And I've never surfed. I've fallen off windsurfers like crazy. but it's like being on a surfboard and riding the wave and trusting if you fall down, you get back up. And there are no sharks there to eat your leg. If they're there, they're going to bump you back on the board. Wow. Okay. Oh, now I feel, Susan, I feel your shoulder. So I'm feeling I'm feeling the chest, actually, the lungs. First, I started feeling like the right shoulder and the neck and the lungs. And it feels like this is part of what we're experiencing in the pain. That is interesting because I was just on Facebook and a friend of mine, I made a joke about the guys, and he joked back, but in a way he was saying it's a little scary, you know, like being a guy these days. And so I'm feeling that. I'm feeling a lot of grief around that. And the right side is that active, masculine component. And there is this pain, a pain in the masculine. As the masculine, as the feminine emerges, there is a confusion that the feminine is emerging, and it is, but there's also the masculine is emerging as well, because neither of them have been here in the way that they're designed to be here. It has all been a convolution of drama and story, and so it's really a realignment of the anima and animus, the realignment of the masculine and feminine, and it's really bringing them alive, and they're in each of us, masculine, feminine, human, non-human, and it's bringing them to surface, bringing them to light, that there's a pain in the letting go, there's a pain in the realization of the past, of the history, there's a pain in the body. And it's a pain from the trauma of the past. It's a pain from the stories and the pains and the perpetuation of the confusion and the violence and the subjugation. There's a pain. And so it's like I see the guys, I see so-and-so and Zoe, and it's like I'm like my right arm is like a right wing, and it's like trying to just fully expand and fully extend in a way to kind of shake off any pains, any rigidity, any restrictions. And that's taken me to the shoulder girdle and the neck. And actually, I've been feeling pains in my neck, too. So it's like the shoulder girdle and the neck, and it's that shoulders. And those shoulders are, again, where we started with the bridge. It's like these shoulders are, oh, so tired. So tired that they have a hard time staying upright and not hunching forward. So we're needing to balance the concept, the consciousness of responsibility with the sense of vision and insight. Oh, that feels so good. So it's like going in that inner eye. And as I tap into that inner eye, it has, everybody, try that for yourselves, actually, because as you tap into that inner eye, it has a lifting feeling to it. It's like you're looking up and in. And so it lightens the posture. It lightens the shoulders. It lightens the neck. Which then takes me to the low back. So, going into the spine. Into the neuromuscular component, so into the nerves and the muscles. And working with those branches off of the spine. Yeah. into the nerve, the muscles, and also into the muscles of the organs, into the systems of the body. They feel entangled. They don't feel like clear pathways, so we're needing to kind of separate them, comb them free. Disentangle the knots. Oh, that's nice. And then we're going into the lungs and we're working with the capillaries of the lungs and doing the same thing, because the capillaries of the lungs feel like, actually when I go into the capillaries of the lungs, they feel like this. There's like almost asphyxiated. They can't catch their breath. They're like those miners that are trapped in the bottom passageways and can't get any air. Whoosh. So we want to lift. We want to actually put in a program to repair their structure in a way where they open. They're not collapsed. They're opening. And as they open, it's almost like, oh, I love it. It's almost like this, as oxygen goes through, it's almost like laughing gas. It's like this giddiness. It's funny. The image that's coming now is the balloons and the helium. And it's like some of the cells or some of the miners playing with the helium balloons and doing that thing where they suck on the helium and make the funny voices. So it's really tapping into a lightness and opening up those pathways in a way where, oh, it feels good to be upright again. Oh, so it feels like, as it's interesting as I'm saying that, because it's like in the bodies, it's like, it feels good to be upright again. It's almost like with that collapsing, it was like collapsing back down on all fours. But not in a playful way. In a being forced way. So now we're bringing it back up, opening them up. Oh, yay. And now we have to go to the mandible, to the TMJ joints, actually. To the jaw. I was going to the head. First I went to the sphenoid. Ah, so we went to the sphenoid and then to the mandible and the TMJ joints. And interesting, they're not reciprocal, but we're doing like, we're linking them and we're establishing a new relationship with them. We're opening up, as we open up the head, as we open up the space in the brain and give more air, give more space, more water, more air, more oxygen, more elemental interaction. It's like, oh, it's funny, it's like the mouth and the nose and the eyes and the ears are like the orifices of the cave. And the cave is vibrantly alive, but not a trap anymore, not collapsed anymore. It's like the sound waves, it's like the inner voice. It's like, I see, interesting enough, I see sound waves coming out of the ears. So what I'm getting from that is, it's like the inner voice becomes louder, becomes clearer. The inner vision becomes brighter and clearer and cleaner. The third eye links right up with that, and the pineal pituitary, the yin and yang of that, the masculine, feminine, the hormones, the neurotransmitters, hypothalamus, thalamus. So it's like, that hand position of cellular repair, pineal pituitary connection, thalamus, hypothalamus connection, and then holding not the mastoid processes, but the suture, the edges of the occipital, temporal, and parietal lobes, where they connect, where those three bones intersect, where those three parts of the head intersect. The sutures have felt like crushed, like we were talking about with the cave. The sutures have felt crushed, so it's like literally opening them up. So there's space. So there's movement with the breath. Oh, that feels so good. So it's like literally I can see the movement, feel the movement of the breath and the brain and the diaphragm and the body all working in a harmonious rhythm. Instead of before, it was like the head was jammed and not moving. So actually nothing was moving much. There was movement, but it was more jerky. It's more like, okay. So there was nothing smooth about it. So it's bringing smooth space, transitions, movement between the head and the body. So in a way, like lifting the head up off of the spine so that there's not a jamming or a compression on the AO joint. And then the spine, the vertebra, can do their own little kind of snaky rhythm of, oh, I'm going to expand and just kind of stack myself in a different way. Ah, nice. And it's taken me to the sense of taste in the tongue. And there's something off. It's interesting because my eyes caught the knives. And why did my eyes catch the knives on the tongue? That does not feel good. It feels like on some level, and it may be past life experiences collectively, individually, of, okay, here's the interesting words. It's like the voice of God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, like the tongue literally being cut out. So no words. Yeah, not a good image. So there's a sense of the blood being off, the words being off. Needing to, again, go into the blood and go into the sense of taste. With the sense of taste, we need to work with the blood, and the blood, what's showing up are the components of the blood, the chemistry of the blood, the corpuscles of the blood, and actually corpuscles on the tongue, the taste buds and the corpuscles on the tongue. So it almost feels like, okay, now the image is less physical and more metaphoric in terms of words, like paying attention to the words that we speak, and are they constructive or destructive? And we all know this, but there has been an inability to get beyond, it almost feels like actually the tongue was just cut out. It was like, actually feels like there was an inability before and a distaste with being able to speak in a constructive way and trust. Speak in a constructive way and trust. And so, setting that up now, balancing the tongue into the back of the throat, to the taste buds, to the flavors of life. Not just sweet, salty, pungent, sour, bitter, all of the flavors and the nuances in between. Tapping them in a way where the subtle sense of taste becomes more, the word is acute, but that's not the right word, more available. Again, it's talking about we're really very much working with the bioavailability of the body right now, because I feel like we've just done so much work around the spirit and the soul and the integration of that, so it's like now time for the body to receive that in a way where it can actually work with it instead of feel like it's being attacked. Now we're going into the heart. The four chambers of the heart. Linking them to the four chambers of the brain. It's like integrating the relational brain, the feeling brain, the intuitive brain with the intellectual computer brain. That's essentially what our head is. So, it's not about making it wrong, it's about relieving it from the stress of trying to do the other. And actually opening up the heart and giving the heart more availability. More fresh blood. Fresh blood, fresh nutrients. Oh. And corpuscles keep coming up. Corpuscles. So I'm just seeing them. It's almost like they're like spitting out new chemicals, spitting out the old and filling up with new. New vitality, endorphins. The heart's hormones. It's actually, and actually, even in the soul's journey in the three brains, John confirmed that science has actually proven now that there's more dopamine and serotonin produced in the heart and the gut brain than in the head brain, and so they've been trying to correct it from the wrong brain. So we are now opening up those pathways so the serotonin and dopamine can actually do their jobs. There's a pause. We can all take a moment, just relax and breathe. See what else wants to come up. There's a sense of, I feel so right now, and as I feel him, it's like my head is turning. It's like a rotation of my head and needing to Thank you. increase range of motion. Remove the kinks. Increase the ability to see more peripherally. So increase the scope of awareness and flexibility and movement. Kind of went into our sotto. We have an owl outside of our window and breathe every day. And owls really don't turn their head the whole way around, but they turn it almost the whole way around so fast that it looks like they turned their head the whole way around. It's really giving us kind of that ability. That ability to be more resilient, be more open, be more aware. It's like, you know, I play with words all the time, and there's so much out there to beware of. And it's not, I think it's a misunderstanding. We're not meant to walk around in this constant state of stress and being beware, but we are meant to be aware. And as we are aware, then we can be more relaxed and playful and childlike and more joyful and lighter in our being. Less stressed about I'm going to do something wrong or somebody's going to do something wrong to me. More carefree. Carefree. In the French word, c'est la vie, just showed up. More carefree. C'est la vie. That's a great mantra. More carefree, c'est la vie. And we go into the heart again with the element of fire. And it's like the fuse has been, it's like the fire element of the heart has been spilling out into our bodies in a destructive way to the rest of the body and also to the heart, because it's like been a weakness for the heart. The heart's inspiration has not been, the pilot light has gone dim. So we're stoking the fire of the heart. And then coating it with an energetic balm. This energetic balm is designed, it's like, to help the heart have a more defined, clear structure in its own space and where it belongs in its chambers, as well as the pericardium that protects it. So it's like flaking off the dead, dying component of that fake wall the pericardium has been up to this point, and allowing new cells to be born and to build a cleaner, clearer, defined structure. And but that clearer, cleaner, defined structure, even in the past, has been misunderstood. We've all always wanted cleaner, clearer, defined structures, but we've made them so rigid that we haven't allowed for the interaction of the other parts and the integration of the other parts. And so that's what we're changing, building those fluids between the cell walls and between the systems and between the structures, to allow that breathing space, to allow that awareness, that recognition of the parts of ourselves, to recognize the other parts of themselves so they don't feel like they're all alone trying to do the job on their own. Kind of like the disconnect many of us have felt in the past has been going on inside in our actual structures. And so it's about tearing down those walls and allowing visibility of related structures in the whole body. Nice. That's going into actually reciprocals, and we're doing the reciprocals now, the head-to-body reciprocals, and we're actually doing the reciprocals of the eyes to the nipples and the ears to the axilla, the mouth to the navel. But then we're also linking, the mouth to the navel, but then we're also linking the occiput. I love it because the AO junction in Pennsylvania Dutch is often referred to as the mouth of God. So we're also linking the mouth of God, that AO junction, to the navel. Nice. Which also establishes a better ley line or better connection, better integrity. You know, those structures that kind of keep the spine stacked on top of itself, but also allow it to be mobile and pliable and able to undulate, bringing that together in a way that helps the spine and the sacrum and the hips, the structure. Now I'm just kind of, I think we're grounding it now, and I'm just standing and doing in Qigong, what they call shaking it, just basically feet, you guys can do it too, feet on the ground, but like a pumping. But your feet stay on the ground, but the rest of you is shaking. And it's shaking. As we do that, it's like I see waste kind of going into the ground that can be used as fertilizer energetically for the earth. And then more flow as those pathways are opened up. Nice. Everybody just breathe. I feel like that was how we ended. And so we're just going to tap it in. So just everybody breathe and tap their head, and then breathe and tap your heart, and then breathe and tap your belly. Like it's interesting, it's like I'm like stroking my lower back, but I feel like So-So and Joey. Yeah. Anybody have anything to add?
Okay. This is Carmen, and I almost added to my intentions to choose my words better in communication, and then I thought, oh, just let the other person deal with my being blunt. So I'm really glad that came up.
So were you there with the tongue thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Not surprised. It could have been a past life thing for many of us.
Exactly. I'm sure it was for me, so.
Yeah, this is Susan. I don't think I mentioned it, but I was sure there was a couple of weeks ago I bit my tongue more severely than I thought possible. Bled like crazy for about a half hour.
Oh, wow. No, you never did.
And figured out quite so you're supposed to stop a tongue from bleeding.
Wow.
Finally did.
Wow, I'm glad.
Yes, so it's definitely a way to make sure you do something with the time you move it.
Wait, I can't hear you, Susan. You lost you for a minute there. What'd you say, Soto was what?
He was definitely trying to get you to understand something right at the time you said that you knew he was talking to you.
Yeah, I could feel him. Uh-huh. I felt him a lot, actually, tonight. It was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he and Joey are amazing, the depth to them.
They are. They're really lovely.
I've only scratched the surface.
You have? It's so true. It's so true. They are remarkable beings.
Esoto actually took me to share with me a hologram he's made.
Wow.
But he's actually a different kind of macaw with a mate and two chicks, and it's this verdant tropical jungle with a waterfall.
I can see it.
Oh, it's neat.
It is neat. Wow. Well, I wish I could stay on longer, but I have a 9:05 call.
Well, thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
We'll have fun crossing the bridge.
Yes. Yes, we'll have fun being on the other side and celebrating together.
Yes, we will.
Actually, that's a really good image for us to carry into the new year with all of us.
It is. See you there. See you all
So
there.
Yes, as the new year is here, imagine we have all crossed the bridge and we are all celebrating there together.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, that's it. Good night for now.
Oh, good night. Thank you.
All right, Debbie. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for
night.
Letting me participate. Good night. Have sleep well.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.